Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bell Star,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers House, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Good morning, Cannabis Kid.
Good morning, Beth. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Good.
Always think of a good morning in Vietnam. Good morning, marijuana. That's better, huh?
Good morning, cannabis.
We need a stadium effect.
We do, like the echoing kind of effect.
Yes.
So yeah, it's good to be back in the studio this week.
I know you were gone last week. What was that?
I was.
Did you do some different stuff?
Actually, helping out with the family.
Well, good. That's good to do. Family isn't as good. It's important.
Yeah, we are getting a business started, so we need a little extra help kind of doing some stuff in the morning. So
that's good. We did help you some cannabis
today. Back on that.
Yeah. Feeling good?
Feeling good.
How do you do that in the morning? Tell us about your cannabis.
So, I usually have some leaves, some apples, cucumbers, spinach. And I throw that all in there. Throw one of those coconut waters in.
Oh, wow.
I go creative with it. And I think it's as creative as someone wants to go with fruits and vegetables and choosing what they want. You can barely taste the cannabis. I mean, there is it's a strong herb flavor, smell, and
it is.
And sometimes high. But not from juicing.
Not from doing
not
anything
from
raw with it.
No.
High.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you want to put in it and blend it all up. It's a little thick, but add a little bit of more water to it. It breaks up pretty well. Yeah. One of those every morning, you feel pretty good.
Well, and if you check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com in their little science section, they posted a cannabinoid little chart there, and it's awesome. It goes through THC, THCV, CBD, CBN, CBC, and CBL, just a few of the cannabinoids in the plant, explains about it, so you can see when you're juicing it raw, what you're getting completely. It's the complete whole plant, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
December 11th. How many days till Christmas? 14?
Yeah, I don't even...
Holy cow, you guys got to get out and shop.
Mm-hmm.
Get in panic. Just kidding.
No.
Smoke a bowl, mail it out. Have
order online.
Yeah. Oh, and there's like flying machines that will deliver your packages to your house now. Oh, drones of sorts. I don't know. Flying robots. They're not doing pigeons, I guess, anymore. I guess the packages would be a little heavy for that. Well, anyway, but you can have your presents delivered within an hour. And then next year it's supposed to be a 5-minute delivery time. You order something. Oh, and they're delivering Christmas trees, too. You can order your Christmas tree and get it delivered to your house. Like,
wow.
You can just have a pop-up Christmas this year. Yeah, it's pretty stress-free.
Well,
you're into that whole thing.
The drones won't be ready for 5 years because they can crash into people's heads. So.
Yes, this is true. I did see that, too. But I say hire someone, put up your lights, fly in your tree, fly in your gifts, smoke some bongs while you're watching it happen. You know, and by the time you're done with your bowl, your house is set up and it's beautiful. It's a merry Christmas.
Speaking of delivery systems, are they doing...
And get your stuff delivered while you're waiting, you know, by the time your bowl's done, it's all set up. 45 minutes later, you have a nice little gift with a bunch of this tree for all your family and friends.
That's nice.
Patients here in Colorado, I guess you don't have to be a January 1st. We have a really cool article. We're going to read a little, How to Open a Dispensary. They came up in, we just got the latest High Times magazine, and there's an article on how to open a dispensary.
That should sound
interesting.
Yeah, pretty
much. What else we got going on in the news? Uruguay has become the first country to legalize legalize marijuana. It's not even for medical use, I don't think. It's just for whatever you want to use it for.
Including trade.
Wow, like we used to in this country.
Very cool.
It says Uruguay's Senate passed the marijuana legalization bill earlier today, paving the way to make Uruguay the first country to legalize marijuana. The only thing that has to happen now is for the president, Jose Mujica, to sign the bill, which he said repeatedly he would do. This is huge, folks. How will the UN react? How will America react? How will South American countries react? I guess only time will tell. It's a truly exciting time in marijuana policy. I expect many more nations to legalize marijuana now that the first country has taken the leap. Once other countries see that the sky won't fall, and that opponents are more bark than bite, they will just follow suit. I hope the United States isn't the last country to realize that marijuana prohibition is a failure. Below are a couple quotes in reaction to today's event. So Tom Angel from Marijuana Majority said, Uruguay's move today is a pretty clear signal that the global war on marijuana is ending. Last year, Colorado and Washington voted to become the first jurisdictions in the world to legally regulate marijuana, and now a whole country is ending prohibition. Oh, that's awesome.
That is really
an entire
awesome
country. Next year, more U.S. states are likely to vote on legalization, and leaders of other countries in Latin America are talking about the need for a new approach. More politicians here in the U.S. are smartly realizing that a clear majority of American voters support legalizing marijuana, and it's only a matter of time before federal law changes. The industry is being brought above ground and taken out of the hands of drug cartels and gangs, and we're never giving it back. Ooh, I like that. That's awesome. Don't ever give it back, because it's been a failure. They took it away because alcohol prohibition ended, so they need something else to do, and it's just the wrong thing to do.
I just feel like we keep on going the wrong way each time.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. We're going the right way.
Yeah.
It says, today's vote means that marijuana will soon be regulated and controlled in Uruguay, thus reducing crime and violence, said Terry Nelson, LEAP board member who worked for U.S. Customs, Border Patrol, and Homeland Security in Central and South America. Uruguay has taken a strong step towards improving human rights, the rule of law, and public safety. I hope that other nations will have the courage to do the same. The bill will allow personal cultivation of up to 6 plants and will be available at the Ministry of Public Health, licensed pharmacies, and at clubs of anywhere from 15 to 45 registered members. It also has strict rules, including that no one under 18 can use marijuana for any reason. It provides for drug use prevention education, prohibits advertisements for marijuana, and enacts strict penalties for violators. The bill also provides for a period of 120 days to write more detailed regulations. Uruguay has been praised by former Brazilian president and chair of Global Commissions on Drug Policy, Fernando Henrique Cardoso, 65 Mexican legislatures, and more than 100 global organizations for enacting the new policy. Way to go, Uruguay. That's awesome, the entire country.
The one thing I wanted to question on that was the advertisement. Why?
Well, and I don't know what exactly that means.
Pharmaceutical advertisements, right?
Yeah, and they're all over the place, and I'm sure they
show you a really happy life with some of your medication.
Yeah, what they're going to push it back underground so you have to secretly go get your legal medicine.
Right, why do they keep on, yeah.
That's kind of a contradictory in terms, right. I don't know. Anyway, that's awesome. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out the advertising and the taxing, and I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I hope that if anyone under 18 does need it, they will regulate that somehow with physicians.
Yeah, that would be a concern for the family.
And yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. Way to go, Uruguay. And there was also a new Harvard study, I don't know if you saw this, that marijuana does not cause schizophrenia.
Oh, that one was out. Yeah.
Which, if you've seen Reefer Madness, the guy that was ready to kill someone else and the chick on the piano was probably just darn near schizophrenic. A new Harvard study published in the journal Schizophrenia Research has found evidence that cannabis use, regardless of how often or in what quantities, does not lead to an increase in schizophrenia, despite decades of propaganda to the contrary. For the study, researchers examined patients separated into four sample groups. Sample one, 87 non-psychotic controls with no drug use. Number two was 84 non-psychotic controls with cannabis use. Sample three was 32 patients with the schizophrenia spectrum psychosis with no drug use. And sample four was 76 patients with schizophrenia spectrum psychosis with cannabis use. All cannabis-using subjects used the drug during adolescence and no other substance, with the exception of alcohol. Structured interviews of probands and family informants were used to obtain diagnostic information about all of their known relatives. After conducting the study, the Harvard researchers concluded that the results of the current study suggest that having an increased familial morbid... The results of the current study suggest that having an increased familial morbid risk for schizophrenia may be underlying basis for schizophrenia in cannabis users and not cannabis use by itself.
So you already had the disease.
Exactly. It's like most other things. It's there. It's hereditary. It's genetics. It's in your genes. But it's not caused by
cannabis.
By cannabis, yeah.
That's really good to know.
The study, which was led by Lynn DeLisi,
MD.
Is the professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And if you go to theweedblog.com, you can check that out yourself and read more about it. That's pretty cool. No schizophrenia. All right. So if you go to azmarijuana.com, as simple as that, azmarijuana.com, you can see Tumbleweed Health Center's advertisement there for $85 certification, winter special. Who knows how long winter lasts in Tucson. Hint, hint. Also, there's some good news articles in there. I think we read this last week, but Arizona has a bill out for 2014, which you can sign at Tumbleweed Health Center to legalize cannabis, and that's for people of voting age and older. And then Arizona zoning laws, the judge abolished zoning laws. I don't know if you heard about that one.
I didn't.
Yeah, so Arizona dispensaries now have the ability to open their dispensaries at any location, except within 500 feet of schools, ruled Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Michael Gordon. Judge Gordon ruled that Maricopa County failed to create reasonable zoning standards in compliance with state law, so they are now forbidden from enforcing any zoning regulations or restrictions on medical marijuana dispensaries. The only restriction is that they must be further than 500 feet from schools. Arizona dispensaries will now be able to open next to grocery stores, malls, or in the strip mall, for example, whereas before, strict zoning restrictions forced dispensaries to open in industrial areas such as air parks. This all started with a lawsuit which began in 2012 when the White Mountain Health Center, a should-be dispensary, and lawyer Jeffrey Kaufman sued Maricopa County after the county zoning departments refused to assist the center in complying with the state's dispensary licensing requirements. The American Civil Liberties Union and ACLU of Arizona also assisted attorney Jeff Kaufman as counsel on the case. Awesome. Mm. Good for them. I bet we will be seeing them pop up next to the Safeways and Fry's. Who knows?
In the little strip malls all over?
Yeah. Can you see a
little
kiosk?
In the old Blockbusters?
You see the little kiosk? You walk down the mall and there's those little, like, pop-up shops down the center. Your nice silver jewelry. You can get some beanies, some belt buckles. Bam! Cannabis.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she said she was in Venice Beach when it all started happening, like seeing them pop up, and then they went all away. She's like, all the green crosses went away.
Oh no!
And then all of a sudden, they were
like
back to the mayor. And as soon as the mayor changed, and she said they were all back up again.
It's like they grew a garden. They trimmed it.
Uh-huh.
They grew back.
Uh-huh. Bringing it right back where
goodness.
It needs to be.
Heck yeah! That's wild. That must have been an interesting experience.
How's everyone doing with the holiday gift-giving and buying and, I mean, as far as...
I mean, are they shopping for holy smokes?
Oh, holy smokes, or you know, some nice hemp wick.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there's
nice
all sorts of great,
stuffer.
Yeah, lots of great, beautiful bongs you can get down here. We've got some new bongs and stuff. Water pipes, if you want to call them that. They're mm-hmm. wonderful on the lungs. You can some that have little devices you can put ice in them to cool your lungs off when you're singing your massive amounts of cannabis. We've got some new mini Atmos vaporizers down here. If you want to take it easy on the lungs, you can come down here and get those. They're really cute, very discreet, pocket size. Tell us about Holy Smoke.
We've also got some 100% organic botanical vaping tonics that use terpenoids to go with your cannabis. 15 different flavors.
Ooh.
And I say flavors, but I really mean just tonics. Like, there's just the flavors are layered, and there's so many different things that you're going to be tasting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pipes Peace is one of them, and that's got
He's on the spot.
On the spot on that one.
Kid.
I know.
Oh, he's cheating now.
I'm cheating.
That one is really nice. I like to use
that
in addition or in conjunction while I'm doing my cannabis. I like
the parsley, sage, and orange.
Maybe it's the sage and orange combo. It's nice.
And
it smells
citrus
like a
is great
chewy.
For
that's what it is.
The holidays, because you know there's people getting sick and stuff like that.
There are some crazy viruses, so smoke more cannabis, eat more cannabis, drink more cannabis, get your cannabis in. It's good for you during the holiday flu season.
Yeah.
Blah. All right.
So, come on down. We're offering 10% off products for Holy Smokes.
Nice.
Ding, ding. So come on down.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Check them out.
The other thing I wanted to tell people about is if you don't have a grinder yet.
Oh, my gosh. Get one.
You're
but
limiting,
don't just get
you're
any grinder.
The 21st century.
Yeah, come on. Come on now. Don't bypass the scissors.
Yeah.
Let the scissors go. All right, if you still like scissors, fine. They're sterile, they're clean, but we've got some killer grinders. In fact, I've got a purple one that has my sativa in it. No, it's got my indica in it, and my black one right here has got my sativa in it, so I know what not to do in the morning. Excellent grinder.
You're a big fan of the plastic ones.
I love them.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much all I use. I'm not even a plastic fan, but they grind really well.
I love the metal ones. They are really nice. They collect. If you like your three mixtures of, you know, having a little surprise
your
at the
three
end.
Levels of,
your three levels of fun, I call it.
Three levels of fun. Yeah, don't throw it away. We had a patient come in here and say, "What? Should I just get rid of that?" We're like, "No.
What have you done?"
It's the keef. It's the keef that falls through the convenient little screens of your finer
which
grinder.
Which is great with it because you can make butters.
Oh, butter. You can put it on top of your bowl, put it on some toast, you know, and you're looking good. Look out.
It's like the little crumbs at the bottom of the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, it's better than that.
Okay.
It does a lot more for you. Anyone want to know how to open a pot dispensary?
I've been wondering to know that for years.
All right, we're going to read a little bit because in the latest High Times edition, and they're already into, their 2014 edition, High Times turns 40.
Wow.
Woo! That's impressive.
That really is.
Yeah, along with Vogue and other magazines, they're right up there. I like it.
You have these beautiful girls on the front?
Yes. She's a little hairy for some, but, you know, hippies like her a lot. How to open a pot dispensary, because I don't think the patients of America, I'm not even going to just say Arizona, I'm just going to say America or the world, I don't think they understand. I mean, we don't even have a dispensary, and it's been a gargantuan
effort.
Endeavor.
And
yeah,
what
effort.
It takes
just
and
even opening
the fire
a certification
that you have
center.
To jump through.
And the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you have to have for fees and licenses
and
zoning, and then after you get your, you know, hopefully here what happened was really sad when they had their lottery drawing. A lot of people had already put down money on leases and deposits on leases and big, you know, warehouses and stuff, and they lost that. They lost their $5,000 lottery money they put in, but anyway, this is how to open a pot dispensary in Colorado. If you know about Arizona, it's similar. Not exactly the same, but similar. So it says, all right, Colorado, seed-to-sale laws are complex, and fully complying is anything but easy. No business has navigated the state's pot laws with more success than the clinic, which only proves that it takes more than a green thumb to operate 6 Denver dispensaries. So this is a company in Denver called The Clinic, and there's 6 of them there. So your bags are packed, the U-Haul is loaded, and you're ready to join the thousands who want to try their luck at starting a marijuana business in Colorado. It's a big business. CNBC estimates that nationwide cannabis may be as much as a $45 billion industry these days, and as of January 1st, 2014, anyone will be able to walk through the doors of a pot dispensary in Colorado and purchase their first bag of legal weed. Thanks to legalization, Colorado medical dispensaries that have successfully applied for special licenses will be able to sell recreational pot to the public. But the cost of marijuana retail sale isn't cheap. Dispensaries and cannabis businesses can expect to shell out tens of thousands of dollars on application fees and operating licenses. The residency requirements and background checks that businesses owners have to pass are given, but not just anyone can start selling pot legally. Currently, operating dispensaries have an advantage, since they can convert from selling medical pot to card-holding patients to serving recreational smokers. But if you're interested in opening a dispensary in Colorado, new applications won't be even considered until 2016. Mm-hmm. So, the transformation from operating a medical pot dispensary to operating a legal marijuana store will not be an easy one. Just ask Ryan Cook, general manager of The Clinic, which operates 6 dispensaries in Denver. In July of 2011, Colorado's Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division passed regulations intended to monitor and account for every ounce of pot legally produced in the state. One new law required each cannabis business to produce 70% of its products. The remaining could come from other Colorado dispensaries. Another regulation that took effect created a seed-to-sale program. So from the moment a seed is planted to the moment the resulting bud is sold in a dispensary, every plant must be tracked through each stage to the final packaged product. The clinic operates 6 dispensaries and multiple growing facilities in compliance with the MMED. When a Colorado patient is prescribed medical marijuana, they can select a dispensary such as the clinic to grow their medicine. Up to 6 plants per patient, approximately 2 ounces, Colorado currently has more than 100,000 patients. An interesting plan.
Yeah.
Medical marijuana inspections are random and can happen at any time. When inspectors visit a medical marijuana grow, they want to know the number of plants on site, how much plant matter is drying, the dry weight, total cured weight, and how much is ready to ship. Inspectors may even request to see a specific patient's plant in what can be a very full or disorganized warehouse. Cook prepares for these unannounced visits by performing mock inspections with his staff. I'll put up the patient list and ask an employee to go and locate a patient's plant. He says the systems are quite complicated, but when we can show the general location of a plant or answer any question, I watch the med officer stand back in awe. To track each plant, the clinic uses a tag that includes patient ID, dispensary ID, strain information, and the date it was planted. The tag stays with the plant from harvest to drying, packaging, and delivery. Cook estimates that one plant passes through 25 sets of hands through the process.
Wow.
The clinic takes its system a step further by tagging plants with color-coded flags. When a med officer walks in and sees a sea of flags that are all different colors, he'll be able to identify different clinic locations and destinations for the harvested plant. It helps them visually understand process, Cook says. That's pretty cool. Amazingly, every single leaf is accounted for in the clinic's operation under the seed-to-sale law. Its methods are so fine-tuned, the clinic can track down to 1/100th of a gram, a weight so small that it's hard to even imagine. In the end, being required to keep meticulous logs doesn't bother Cook, the growers, or the operation. Keeping daily and weekly and quarterly records that analyze the grow, location, strain, and yield has been useful in helping him determine best practices and how to successfully run the business. Holy cow.
That is really cool.
You know,
allowing that science to come in and or just the paperwork that needed to be done
to
track.
The organization that mm-hmm. they have to go through, 25 hands.
He's got it all barcoded, so if he has a strain that someone can say, this did this to them, he can document that.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's
This is fantastic. The article's really long, actually, and it just goes on and on and on. And then it goes into their grow room, and holy cow, who wouldn't love to go hang out in that grow room? That's pretty cool. But, you know, I just think it's important for people to understand that when you walk into a dispensary, no matter what you're, you know, just be careful. That's all. I just think, you know, we're lucky that Arizona has a program, and it's not the ideal program for everybody, but you can't please everybody, but we do have a program, and I think pretty soon in the next 2.5 years or so, at least by 16 probably, we'll legalize it here, and people will be able to get a better handle on it. But for now, be nice to your dispensary owners. They've put a lot of hard work in. They're not sleeping nights, even though they're eating their edibles. It's a lot of work, you know. And it's a lot of money and time that they had to shell out years before, you know, it even all started. And, yeah, they make good money. They're nonprofits, though, and hopefully we start seeing them put back into the community, like places like Harborside does and mm-hmm. Oakland and San Jose now. And things like that.
It is good to know.
It's good to just be grateful and be thankful, you know. And not all dispensaries are the same. There's, what, 8 here in town now? 8 or 9?
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. Go to different ones. See what you like.
Because they're all different. And
they all have different strains. They have different edibles and tinctures. And
different staff.
Yeah, different staff. Yeah, that's
different,
a good point.
Different vibes when you walk in, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Depends on where you feel comfortable. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to play a little song here because I love this song. I can't help it. So, Pop
well,
Shop, everybody.
Pop Shop.
Get some coffee.
Puff, 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 puff. Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time, dominating all my friends, as I eat some chili fries, draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea, but shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Seville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those 4 major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunter.
These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let them go war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna spend some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket.
All right. Can you hear us? I never know. unless tech guy's going.
Mm-hmm. We're good.
It's kind of sign language.
Gives us two thumbs up.
Says little but means a lot. Could be your
very
anything.
True.
Says little
very
means
true.
A lot. All right. I like it. I just gave
well,
you your anything.
We have a little bit of information from the Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the High Times. This is the High Times interview. Now, he went on
yes.
to say,
this guy.
He did a little... editorial on why I changed my mind on weed. And it was on CNN, and he said, surely, he added, they must have quality reasons as to why marijuana is the category of the most dangerous drugs that have no one accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. But they didn't have the science to support that claim, and I know that when it comes to marijuana, neither of those things are true. And so he just goes on to say, what was the tipping point for you in the moment you decided to come forward and admit that you had been wrong and start reexamining the issues of medical marijuana and the whole new perspective? And that's what High Times had asked. He says, well, I think it was a couple of things. The first was looking
brownie.
Through.
Oh, sorry.
It was a brownie. It was
yeah.
the first hit.
You know,
sorry.
And it might,
I can't help myself.
I wonder...
I
know doctors are so...
They're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to try it, but you think how many times it opens up the doctor's mind and goes, you know what?
Well, maybe he...
This really would be good for people. And
yeah.
So, in the using the same medical journal search engine that you have access to and realizing just how many studies of medical marijuana were actually designed to try to find harm. It was like they were out... to find all the things that were wrong with it and to find out, instead of finding out all the things that were good with it. Like 90% of them, while only 6%, according to my calculations, were looking for benefits. And so I began to wonder if that wasn't creating a very distorted picture. As a researcher and a reporter, I decided to dig a little deeper. I started to make phone calls to people in labs all over the world to take a look at the bigger picture that came first. But the biggest factor was spending significant amounts of time with patients who use cannabis, meeting them, looking at their medical records, talking with the physicians and reviewing the treatment courses, including all the other options they had exhausted before trying medical marijuana. I saw my own eyes the objective impact of cannabis on their particular conditions. These weren't adolescent anecdotal stories. These were a collection of individuals who I eventually realized with the development of a bigger and much larger picture. So him spending time with people who are using cannabis was probably the most significant thing that probably changed his mind. And I know that patients at a time and they're traveling around is really the most important part, because interviewing people and seeing what it's all about is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having that experience is life-changing for people.
And sharing the stories with Dr. Sanjay Gupta and him saying he could actually, I mean, read the medical records,
mm-hmm.
visit with these patients who, you know, are hurting
yes.
and are using
and
a medicine that is illegal and so strictly enforced to be bad, you
yeah.
know?
Not anymore.
So people are coming out. And so one of the things he said, this was one of the questions that High Times asked. And it says, all of those pharmaceutical companies are heavily advertising in the media. Does that not play a role in the kind of reporting we see on this is an issue? And he says, I speak for myself and say honestly, that's not the same thing that's ever impacted my reporting. Prior to my current investigation of medical marijuana, I actually did an entire documentary looking at prescription drug overdoses, but overall, I just don't know. So, he's trying to say all the things that they're saying about pharmaceutical things and hurting people is he's still looking into that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's important to do the research.
Right, and know what's really actually going on. One of the other questions that High Times asked is, are you familiar with the efforts by the organizations called the Multiplicity Association of Psychedelic Studies to create a second federal facility to grow medical marijuana for FDA-approved research studies in 2007? The DEA's own administrative laws recommending granting and licensing to open the second facility, but the DEA administration dragged their feet on for years, rejecting this application. And he says, yeah, okay. I heard about that. And I think purely for scientific standpoint, the best science comes when you have all options available. And in this case of marijuana, it includes having access to all different strains. So having more location where it's grown would be a likely benefit. Right now, there's total disconnect. I know various scientists who want to research, and they have constructed studies not targeted to look for harm, but investigating potential medical applications. And then I'm hearing from people down in Mississippi who are actually responsible for creating their own legal federal supply, that there's no demand for it, to the point that they're not growing any, and somewhere there's a disconnect. So there's so many different things that are out in the media these days that you're hearing, okay, and it's like a tug of war back and forth, constantly confusing people. And it's like they hear things from some people and then from the politicians who they are looking for as guidance on this
resources.
Whole resources are all saying that it's bad, but without behind the education that's supposed to go with it, how is anyone supposed to get the right information?
Education,
information,
networking.
Networking and...
Let's go, people.
Right.
Get your EIN number.
So I like Sanjay Gupta's article in this, and if you haven't picked up the High Times for... is this January?
Oh, yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
It's already out.
It's already out. All the bacon pins on front of it.
Yeah, it's a cool issue.
A really great issue. I wanted to ask... High Times is going to ask one more question. It says, do you think marijuana is safer or as safe or safer than alcohol? And do you think it's safe enough to be used by an adult in the same way as alcohol? I like that question because I tell people this all the time. It says, I've cut my drinking back a lot.
Oh, way back.
Oh, I have a beer or a glass of wine in one night, and that's, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't drink as much as I used to. I can definitely say I've cut back, and I probably have 3 a week.
There you go.
So I'm getting old. My name is Cannabis Kid, and So Sanjay Gupta comes back and says, I can tell you what I know of science between marijuana and alcohol, but I find these sorts of moral equivalence questions get in the way. Still, to the answer question, fewer people become dependent on marijuana than alcohol. Oh, thank you. I've seen the withdrawal symptoms of alcoholics firsthand, and they can be frightening.
Nasty.
Oh. That's one that you can actually die from.
Yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can.
Even life-threatening wears withdraw from marijuana, if there's dependency, tends to be far more insatious. And I've never seen any or even heard about a documented case of a fatal marijuana overdose.
No, zero.
So, and that's when I had this conversation with someone the other day, and they're like, well, you're telling me so that there's been no deaths on marijuana. I'm like, no. And they're like, do you know if there's been any car accidents caused by? And I'm like,
how do you answer that?
I don't know.
We don't know that there's...
I know when I drive,
if it was a big issue.
I know.
Though. Yeah, if it, that was a problem, maybe, I don't know. But ask about Vicodin, Oxycontin, Dilaudid.
Right, the ones that totally
that
shut
America
this down
is,
up here.
You're, that America is on.
Right.
A lot.
A lot.
Too many. Do you remember your first edible experience?
Yes, I do.
High Times, it says, everyone always remembers their first experience ingesting marijuana. Many people report that it was a transcendent experience. Others, not so much. What was your first time with an edible like? With over 1,200 responses, it's clear that most people enjoy the effects of edibles, with 73% reporting that it was life-changing, pleasant, or fun. As for the rest, maybe suggest that it's a good idea for the industry to be strict about dosages, so no one's disappointed or unnecessarily disoriented. So for those that they polled, 16% said it was life-changing.
Life-changing.
First time I smoked pot was. That was crazy. You know, it must have been some serious sativa. Now I know what we're doing here. I'm thinking back, man, I was not just sitting around. That was like, woo.
I was on some serious indica, I think.
I don't know. We got good Humboldt stuff, so we weren't doing that.
3%.
Oh, you were the girl. Paranoid. Melting in the couch, girl.
You know, 3%. I see that a lot.
If it's too much sativa, that can do it. But it does not cause schizophrenia.
I just want to go on that paranoia thing.
Go for it. Let's just do it.
Holy smokes, rant.
Expand.
Holy smokes may help out with the paranoia that
H-O-L-I.
Some people get because of the terpenoid effect.
Right. That's true.
So.
That's true. 31% of people said it was very pleasant.
Good.
Very pleasant experience. And 4% of people were scared. They had a scary experience. ingestible OD.
And you know what
too
I think?
Much
this
if it's your first time.
This paranoia and
3-4% of people that
the
were
scary
scared
and the paranoia. I think that can kind of go
no one monitored
together
that.
Because I think people sometimes mistake scary for paranoia.
Could go hand in hand, yeah.
It really could.
But seriously, they were talking about dosages. Seriously, you've got to be strict about your dosages, and you have to let people know. And what someone said once, I don't remember who said this, but I stole it, and I use it all the time. It's brilliant. It's just like cooking. You can always add, but you can't take away. So you start out eating a very little amount, and you wait an hour and see what happens.
Yeah.
Don't eat the whole brownie.
The digestion process has to be...
Have a fake brownie next to it that doesn't have any medicine in it.
Right, so you don't...
Yeah, so don't, yeah, but don't get them confused, any of those. Well, anyway, if you do, have some friends around. Next year, which is just in several days here, you can go to 4 different High Time cannabis cups. There's one in San Bernardino, San Francisco, Seattle, and Amsterdam.
Huh.
And they'll be celebrating their 40th year at each of these cups, so that is going to be fun and cool. I don't know. You can check out their website, I'm sure, hightimes.com or whatever. Yep, that's it, hightimes.com, right on the front page. Check it out. I'm sure they've got all sorts of advertisements around there. It's just such a groovy magazine.
With so much great information.
Yep.
And if I don't get the magazine, but I do want it. And I'm going to get it this Christmas, actually.
Oh, as a gift?
Mm-hmm. myself.
Oh, maybe Santa will come.
Nope.
Maybe.
Hopefully. But I get all my information from High Times on Facebook. And actually, Tumbleweeds post a lot of their information. They get a lot of feeds from High Times. So we definitely, if you're looking for that kind of avenue, they're also on Facebook, so you can check them out and get feeds from some of their articles.
Yes, you can. Wow.
It's all about you, you Garrett, you.
Wait.
I'm trying. You
I can't. I can't.
Uruguay.
I can't.
Uruguay.
I want to come up with an Ozark twang when I say that. Uruguay. Sound like Billy from Where the Red Fern Grows. Grandpa. You know. I want to get my pups. Put on in an old band. Now, don't you tell anybody. Billy, where are you going, Billy?
Belle, come back. Come back.
I love that story,
come
except
back.
For the end. Don't ever name your dog that. That.
Or Old Yeller, either.
I have not seen that, I will admit, because I just can't even handle that. I won't.
Ike. I can understand that. I can totally get
not
that.
Not even going to go there. Did you know, contrary to popular opinion, not every Republican opposes pot legalization?
I know.
I love this little
It sure
thing.
Makes it.
See, I came back.
Thank you. I was worried.
GOP for THC.
Woo-hoo!
Representative Dana, wow, I don't mean to.
Rahabarker.
Rahabarker?
Rahabarker.
All right, Rep. Dana from California. In April, Dana introduced H.R. 1523, the Respect State Marijuana Law Act 2013, a bipartisan bill intended to stop the feds from prosecuting pot users and providers in states with legalization or medipot laws. We'll also give a shout-out to fellow GOPers Justin Amish, Don Young, both hailing from medical states, Missouri and Arkansas, who went against party lines in co-sponsoring the bill. Awesome. There they go.
Standing up.
Republicans. And there are four more. I don't know. You can read in high times. But that's just awesome. Yeah, you should stand up. I bet they know someone that needed it, you know? Oh, my gosh. Did you guys see the thing about Miley Cyrus? She loves marijuana. Is that the spokesperson?
You know what? But
can you see her? Like, the next video is going to be her on a big bud swinging across.
You know what?
I love it.
They always have their moments. And, like, Madonna had hers. Everyone thought she was a total ridiculous when
yeah,
all
I
that all came
up. Spot in Hollywood.
But, no, I'm just saying, like, the stigma of, like, how cannabis comes up and the stigma of sex comes up with her, with Madonna. But she has both. Now she's got both stigmas hanging on her. And everyone's like...
But that's a media thing. That's a media
thing. That thing that she wore at the whatever awards.
Oh. Her thing with Robin. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. There was a historic hemp harvest. Did you know that? Did you know?
Historic
hemp harvest. This is an awesome photo. There's a bunch of hemp harvesters holding their hemp up in this beautiful hemp field. Hemp was one of America's earliest crops intertwined with our history. Now it's a criminal offense to grow it. The DEA is in charge of granting licenses to grow hemp, but the agency has only ever sanctioned one for an experimental crop in 1999 in Hawaii. Otherwise, a hemp crop hasn't been harvested in the U.S. since 1957, but in October, Ryan Laughlin and 45 Colorado activists did just that. Yay! In 2012, Laughlin harvested a small number of hemp plants at his home in Crested Butte. This year, he seeded 60 acres of hemp on his father's Springfield farm. Surprisingly, the DEA took no interest in the crop, despite a history of military-style raids to stop attempts to grow hemp on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 2001 and 2002, probably because it was on a reservation. Laughlin obtained the seeds via mail order from Europe. He plans on tripling his hemp acreage in 2014, as well as planting a month earlier, but this time he'll have a state license. Colorado law cleared the way. That is awesome. That means we can start buying our hemp products from the U.S. Mm-hmm. We don't have to import them anymore. They're going to be...
That's what I was going to wonder about some of the hemp products that are coming. Are those available
they're
yet?
They're on their way. Yeah. They're being shipped as we speak. They're cruising on the boat. Yeah. But how awesome we're going to have our own, hopefully organic, well-made hemp products here right in the States. We'll be able to harvest it here. It'll be more jobs for Americans. And the product will hopefully be cheaper for patients to buy. They'll be able to control the growth and see what's actually being grown versus just believing what someone else tells you is coming from another country.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure they have strict standards, but it's always better to grow your own.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
Yeah,
oh, my God, that's awesome. There's another really...
You said that. I saw this article the other day about honey.
Oh.
And it was being... taken up by from China. It's actually made it's artificial honey.
Oh.
And they were trying to sell it to the United States, and so it got blocked. By,
good.
But just talking about that we always know where things come from here in the United States, but
we have a better idea.
We have a better idea, and we can actually look up and call the places, and we have a lot more ways to research where our products come from.
We do, and testing as well. So
mm-hmm.
that's good to know mm-hmm. that our government's actually testing for products outside our country.
Mm-hmm.
Dixie Elixir is the product that we're going to have, and they do the same thing right at the right at the port of entry there. If it has higher than 0.3% THC, they ship it back or destroy it on spot. They do not accept anything that would be considered cannabis. It has to be less than 0.3% THC, and then it is considered hemp.
That's a good. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's really important. Because when people go, oh, well, where's this from? I always let them know. I always let them know that it's from Denver. It's from Denver, Colorado. Getting it tested on point from on the border was really. I'm glad you said that, because knowing that it has to go through the strict DEA laws. And FDA laws, because it is consumable.
Yes.
And knowing that that much is happening is really important. That it's not just being smuggled over. You know.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, it's really really important.
Knowing where your stuff comes from.
Well, and knowing what's in it, because there, you know, a lot of times people get their hands on products that aren't healthy or safe. They've got fungus and mold and chemicals and other things in there that aren't good.
Artificial.
Not only are not, artificial chemicals, and not only are they not good for us, they can actually harm you. They can kill patients, because a lot of patients that use cannabis have compromised immune systems, and they use it to build it, and if they get a product or something they think is healthy and it's full of other bad things, then, you know, there's been a lot of research and a lot of articles lately on getting your meds tested and finding out what exactly is in there.
Making sure you're not taking in
the
bad
wrong
stuff.
Thing.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is something new. There's going to be a lot of testing. A lot of testing. And if you're, I always just say, if you're an information guru, look it up. Do some research, your own research on it, and make sure what you know that you're taking is going to go with you.
You know, and I think you can go to local libraries and get past issues of maybe High Times. Some of them might have them out there, and there's also, you know, used bookstores that have past issues for cheap. You can, the subscription is not expensive. It's like $35.
Bookman's out there has...
Bookman's, if you're here in town, if you're in the Netherlands, I'm sure there's another local bookstore around. You can go grab some issues. And if anyone wants us to read one on air you think is particularly important that other people should know about, please send us links or copies or emails. Just take a picture and email it to us. We'll do our best to get it up there. Right on. Here's a little blurb about marijuana and MS. It says MJ versus MS. Medical marijuana value in treating multiple sclerosis, MS, is being increasingly recognized. New research out of Tel Aviv University in Israel reports that both of the cannabis compounds, THC and CBD, non-psychoactive cannabidiol, appear to ease these symptoms. When injected in mice, they inhibited their immune cells from producing inflammation harmful to the brain and the spinal cord. Among those molecules restrained by cannabinoids is interleukin-17, a particularly nasty pro inflammatory signaling cytokine.
That sounds important.
Yeah, it does. Lead researcher Dr. Iwa Kozela explained to the Journal of Neuroimmune Pharmacology, inflammation is part of the body's natural immune response, but with MS it gets out of hand. Our study looks at how compounds isolated from marijuana can be used to regulate inflammation to protect the nervous system and its functions. When used wisely, cannabis has huge potential. We're just beginning to understand how it works. That's awesome.
I love that. Really good positive feedback on.
And I still think they should test it on us, not mice.
Right, because mice...
I mean...
How are you going to test a mice is driving?
What if they wanted to use a vape pipe? You know?
What if they wanted to roll their joint?
What if they like water pipes? They might fall in if it wasn't made especially for them.
And then
be a drowned mouse. Oh, man.
So many things.
Please mess with Texas. Presently, Texas has some of the harshest pot laws in the U.S. Getting busted with any amount of weed is a criminal offense that can earn you up to a year behind bars and $2,000. But Texans are coming around.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
To the reality of legal pot. In a September poll released by Marijuana Policy Project, 58% of Texan voters strongly, or at least somewhat, supported legalizing recreational weed for adults and regulating it like alcohol. Only 38% either strongly or somewhat opposed passing pot laws. Of the 860 Texas voters surveyed, 860, sorry, that's a lot. Come on, guys. Hit both 7-Elevens in the state. Of the 860 Texas voters surveyed, 58% also favor legalizing medical cannabis. Only 31 object. The Texas Department of Public Safety reports that more than half of all drug arrests statewide are for pot. FBI states revealed, or stats revealed, almost 80,000 Texans were arrested for weed in 2012, with over 90% for mere possession. That's what most of the possessions are. I think it's every 46 seconds someone's arrested
Everybody
for possession.
Was in jail. That's why they couldn't find enough people to ask.
Yeah, they're all arrested for having just a little bit. Oh, my goodness.
I was talking to my friend, and she lives there in Houston, and she was talking about it, and she said, Waco, I could never. And I was like, Texas?
Move to Texas. Oh, no, Canada. It's not there. You just can't, right? It's not allowed. Yeah, and I don't know if I would mess with Texas when it comes to cannabis. I would wait till the rules change. That's
right.
You know, you really don't mess with Texas. Hey, what's coming up this weekend?
We've got...
AV for Normals meeting.
Yep, meeting.
I believe it is at Ward 6. And let me flip the pages here and get you an address. I should memorize this by now. 3202 East 1st Street. It's one block east of Country Club and one block south of Speedway. Someone's shaking their head now. It's supposed to be second Saturday. Did we miss it?
Which was the 8th.
Oh, well, we missed it. That's depressing. We were very excited to go. I'm sorry, Easy for Normal. We did not have stats in time. But go there. Second Saturday of the month. You should know when it is because, you know, all our hours are mixed up now. We don't have med hours. Sorry, guys. It's all crazy.
This Saturday is the 14th.
Oh, my God. And don't listen to Tech Guy if all possible. So now I unapologize for not. Anyway, just go to AZ for Normal.
Yeah.
All right. Go to azfornormal.org. And that's. There's no A in normal, so it's AZ, the number 4, normal, NORML.org. Check their calendar, and their website's being updated. They're going to have a groovy new website pretty soon. You can also find out Tumbleweed's information there as well about their doctors and certifications. $85 winter special right now. Lowest winter price special. In Tucson, folks. Check it out. Anyway, go to the Ward 6. It's at 3 p.m., ends at 4:20. Uh-huh. Ward 6 Council at 3202 East 1st Street. Arrive early, say hi to people, stay late, say hi to people, talk to people, get to know people there, find out how you can participate politically, socially, spiritually, economically. You can donate if you don't want to put your face
right.
out in the front.
They
put your money in there. You know, donate. These organizations, Tumbleweeds, AZ for Normal, things like that, Normal, they need funds to keep going, to keep pushing laws, because without these big mouths out there, these
we'll
laws
keep
won't
on
change.
Stay, well,
yeah.
We'll keep on staying in the dark, and
that's right.
We
got to
keep up with everything
like
that's happening, and we got to be out there just as much as they're out there saying that it's bad. We got to be out there making sure
everyone
that we
knows
prove
it's
them.
Good. That's
yeah.
right. We disprove that reefer yeah. madness stigma that they got going on. So get down to your local normal event, second Saturday, and go to normal azfornormal.org to find out the appropriate Saturday when it is. But they're a group of great people. Safe for Arizona, that's part of the organization as well. Or, you know, we're all affiliated with each other. We all know each other. We're not really part of each other. But come down, sign legalization for marijuana for 2014 next year. Next month starts next year, people. Let's legalize this and get rid of these hoo-ha laws. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about time to do it.
Yeah.
So just participate as much as you can. And you don't have to be a face for it. You can, like I said, you can write letters to your congressman. You can email people. You can blog about it. You can just do research. That's a great way to participate, isn't it?
Yeah. Should we add that up to the end of that?
What's that?
Be smart, be safe, educate, and participate.
And research, and get involved, and donate.
Participate, which that would include a lot of research. And
that would include a lot. Thank you.
Just
get involved.
Get involved.
Just do it.
Do your research.
Do your research. Just get out there any way you can. It's important. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, azmarijuana.com. Check their site out. Our ads are all over. It's awesome. Also, thank you, Growers House. They've got an excellent new gargantuan location. It's beautiful, and they're having all sorts of Christmas specials, so get on down there. And Mary Jane Survival Guide, great resource. Accurate med testing, so we know what's in our med and that it's safe.
Yeah.
Come down to Tumbleweed Health Center. You can drop your meds off down there, actually. And accurate med testing will come by, pick them up, and test them for you.
Yep.
Yep.
A special little gift for that grower of the house.
Oh, man. That's a
just
heck of a stocking stuffer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103, right in the back. There's a gargantuan vapor lounge out front now, so you can't miss that. So you'll see the big vapor lounge. We're in the back there.
Come by and get your organic vape.
Yeah. They're beautiful. Holy smoke. And thank you so much for being a part of the show every week. Next week, we've got the Alabama Medical Marijuana Coalition on. That's
going to be
an interesting show. Find out what's going on in Alabama.
Oh, a lot of stuff's happening in the South. It's changing. Mississippi's changing. So it's...
Yeah.
It's getting interesting.
We're growing.
We're growing. We're getting into those other 25 states that are really have some hard times with it.
Yes.
But we're
not
seeing minds change every day.
That's
so
true.
It's interesting.
Thank you, Canvas Kid.
Thank you, Belspar.
Thank you, Patience Everywhere. Tech Guy.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Weed Day Wednesday. Everyone around the world, we love you. We appreciate you. We're grateful. Have a great day. Be smart.
Be safe.
Educate.